Welcome everyone to the Kanto Cast. I'm Tristan.
I'm Jeff.
And come on into the casino, because we're about to talk all things Star Wars and geek.
So grab a blue milk.
And get some Wampa Jerky.
Pull up with your favorite Tauntaun.
Because we are about to get things started.
You may want to buckle up, baby.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Kanto Cast. I'm Tristan.
I'm Jeff.
And we have the normal crew back again today, which is awesome. It's good to get the two co-hosts back together. And literally, just moments before we started recording, Jeff was able to watch just the new, I guess we can call it TV spot, focusing on the Bad Batch, the Clone Wars, because that comes out this week, actually. So we're going to start just by just getting our initial thoughts, and Jeff is fresh off the press on this one. So what did you think?
It looked amazing to me. The Bad Batch is one of the arcs I was really looking forward to this coming season. And I'm hoping since they dropped that, you know, that short teaser there right before Tuesday, which is when it starts to stream, that hopefully the Bad Batch will be the first arc that we get to see, because that just looks awesome to see, like, genetically mutated clones that are, I guess you could say, maybe reckless.
Yeah.
There was that one spot in the teaser there where I kind of laughed at when he said, remember, this is a stealth mission, and they just show him running in guns blazing.
Yeah. So yeah.
I cannot wait. And I saw Admiral Trench is back. Oh, man, it just looks awesome. Cannot wait for the Clone Wars.
Oh, was that Admiral Trench? I think it might have been. Didn't he?
Yeah, he looked like a spider.
Yeah, he did. He looked exactly like his species. I'm just trying to remember. I don't think Admiral Trench... What happened to Admiral Trench? He didn't die, did he? Whenever...
I do not remember. If somebody out there knows, please tweet at us and say, hey, yeah, he died in this arc or something like that, but I don't remember seeing his demise.
Yeah, maybe not. So. Maybe not. Yeah, but if that was Admiral Trench, that would be really cool if he didn't die. And, you know, I was, you know, always thinking about, and this is something I didn't even think about until you mentioned it, like when you said, oh, we're going to get the, like, it'd be cool to get the Bad Batch first. And that kind of made me think, like, ooh, like, how are they going to release, you know, the episodes? Like, are they going to do it in completely chronological order? Are they going to, like, bounce back? So, like, one week we get an episode of, you know, Bad Batch, and then in the next season we hop over to, like, the Siege of Mandalore, and then we kind of just, you know, float around. You know, now that you, like, you know, just brought that up, I actually didn't even think about that. I would like to get, like, complete arcs maybe at a time. So, like, for, like, the first three, you know, or four episodes, we get one arc, and then we swing over to the next one, and then, you know, the next one.
Yeah.
That would be, I guess, the ideal, my ideal way to see it. Do you have any preference as to, like, how they would, I guess, distribute the episodes?
I would hope for chronological, but knowing the Clone Wars and how they were originally released way back when it started in season one, how they just did an arc and then just jumped and out of time, I would think maybe they should just stick to that and just show their arcs, you know, out of time, jump to the Bad Batch, jump to season Mandalore, jump to an Ahsoka arc, you know, just, I guess, yeah, I don't know. Because I know some people, if you go online, you can find a list on how to watch the entire Clone Wars series. They actually show you, hey, these are the episodes you have to watch. If you want to watch it in chronological order, you got to watch this one and then jump back to this one. So that's the beauty of having the Clone Wars on Disney Plus on streaming, so you don't have to get up and switch discs. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it was the same with Netflix. I mean, having all of them so easily, you know, it would have flipped through. Just makes it so much more convenient, especially because, like you said, they just went you know, or they just didn't even, you know, obviously care with the timeline. They just, like you said, right, just would bust out arcs at a time and just, you know, call it a season with, like, no coherent, you know, timeline attached to it within the season, usually.
Right.
Season six was different, but, yeah.
Yeah, I would like to see, like I said, I would like to see chronological, but I did, well, I'm going to probably have to print out a new one because I can't find it, but I did print out one of those lists on how to watch the Clone Wars series in chronological order. I'm going to have to do that again here probably after season seven. And since all of them are on Disney Plus now and I don't have to break out my, you know, DVD seasons, I could just sit here and jump to the episodes that I need to watch in chronological order and do it that way, because yeah, it was a pain getting up to switch discs.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was for sure.
That's why I think I abandoned that idea. I only got like maybe 10 episodes in before I was like, this is too
work. Yeah, I don't blame you at all. But yeah, the beauty of streaming, you know, it's all at the touch of a fingertip now. And speaking of streaming and Disney Plus, we really did not, you know, at least with like as co-host to co-host, I know that I was able to talk about it when Trevor came on the show, and you were able to talk about it with Blue Milk Cafe. But
right,
The Mandalorian season one, and we can also, I guess, maybe do a little season two talk as well while we're at it. But
yeah,
I guess recapping, do you just kind of want to hit your highlights of Mandalorian season one? And just talk about like what you liked the most, maybe if anything you didn't like the most about the show. Just kind of get, you know, a quick rundown of your take on it.
Yeah, I guess for right now, because I was also thinking maybe we can go through, you know, chapter by chapter and, you know, go over our feelings of the individual episodes then. But an overall, my overall view of season one, I loved it. I really don't feel there was really any episode that was considered, quote, filler. I mean, some people could say maybe when he met Cara Dune, that one, and The Prisoner, where Bill Burr was in. But I enjoyed those too, where it took us away from the story, the main story, for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. It just gave you a little break and showed you a different adventure. But yeah, actually, I have the complete list of all 8 chapters here in front of me, and looking at them, I think my favorites were, I like chapter 1, The Mandalorian, which is now what it's titled online if you go look at the chapters online. I really like that one. Got to introduce us to the character. And hey, by the end of the episode, you got introduced to Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
So, and I really enjoyed, I believe it was chapter 4 when we met Cara Dune, the Sanctuary.
Yes.
I did like that episode. And the aforementioned chapter 6, The Prisoner. I'm a big Bill Burr fan, and that episode, I loved Bill Burr's. I know he wasn't technically the funny guy in the episode, but he did have some funny lines. When he mentioned that he was a sharpshooter in the Empire, and the Mando said, "That ain't saying much." And just him turning around going, "I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass," was awesome, because, you know, that old trope that stormtroopers can't shoot.
Yeah.
Or aim.
Yeah.
So
that's a classic. I love that they, you know, put that nod in there. Yeah. That was so cool.
And when he was, you know, they're, you know, joking around with the Mandalorian saying, "What do you look like under there?" And Bill Burr was saying, "Maybe he's a Gungan."
Yeah.
maybe that's not why he wants us to see his face or something like that.
Yeah.
It was just like so funny. But yeah, I really enjoyed that one. And of course, the last two chapters, 7 and 8, those two chapters to me are just like one big episode, because the way chapter 7 ended and the way 8 picked up, I think, yeah, chapter 7 ended with Gideon landing in his TIE fighter, correct? Not Gideon.
Is that the Grand Moff. Is it Grand Moff Gideon? Yeah.
landing in his TIE fighter and walking out and just stand. And I think, oh no, that's right. We saw the stormtrooper scoop up Baby Yoda, and that's how it ended.
Yeah,
I was just like, no, 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 no.
Yeah, with
one, I gotta know if Krill's dead.
Yeah,
and two, I gotta know that Baby Yoda's okay.
Yeah.
So, and then of course the way 8 opened up with the two scout troopers banter back and forth was just hysterical to me, and it's just a shame that Jason Sudeikis took so much heat for punching Baby Yoda, but hey, it's not cool to punch Baby Yoda.
I agree.
You gotta understand, if you're gonna agree to be in the Star Wars and you're directed to punch a beloved character, you are going to get some online heat, buddy.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, it was kind of funny too that, oh man, I think it was, I read a story, I think it was on the Hollywood Reporter, that even Jason Sudeikis' old improv troupe came out and released a statement saying they did not condone him punching Baby Yoda. So I thought that's hilarious.
Fair. Yeah, yeah. Poor guy. Taking one for the team, though, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, that banter just made it all worthwhile. And I know some people said they cringed when they did the old trope of, like what I was saying, where stormtroopers can't aim, where they were trying to shoot that thing on the ground.
Oh, I thought that was hilarious.
And I was just laughing so hard. I was like, yep, typical.
Yep.
But yeah, I love how the one, I think it was Jason Sudeikis' character, how when he looked at his blaster and held up next to his ear and shook it like there's something wrong with it. But yeah, that was perfect. But yeah, season one was just great, and I can't wait for season two this fall. I think that's when they said now October. It's coming out.
Yeah, October. That's what I heard too.
At least we have a month we can count down to. They haven't given us a day yet, but at least we can count down to the month for now. I mean, what are some of your favorite episodes and stuff from season one?
So I know that, yeah, like you said, episode 6 could have been, or chapter 6 could have been considered a filler, the Bill Burr one. Mm-hmm. But that actually was like one of my favorite episodes of the entire season. I mean, it was just so cool. I loved everything about it. I loved the droid, Zero, I think was his name, oh, right? Yeah. Zero, yep. Was super cool. I thought that it was just overall a really, really, I guess, intense episode, and it was just awesome to kind of see, like, a Star Wars space hijacking. I mean, who would complain about that? Especially with how awesome it turned out. That was a lot of fun. Obviously, the Mandalorian as a character, I am quickly, you know, he's quickly becoming one of my favorites in Star Wars. Yep. I already have his Black Series action figure, and I am definitely, definitely going to be getting a Mandalorian poster for my new apartment coming up here too. You know, gotta decorate it.
Yeah.
Decorate my room at least, and I need some art. And Mandalorian is definitely gonna be one of the pieces going in. So, yeah, I just love the show from, you know, start to finish. Episodes 4 and 5, I still really enjoy it. I think they're probably the weakest episodes in my opinion of the season. But hey, those are the weakest episodes, and that just shows you, you know, how good the show is.
Yeah, I didn't mention it, but yeah, Chapter 5 wasn't my favorite episode, but my favorite part of that episode is where it took place.
Yeah. Yes, the setting of Chapter 5 might have been the coolest setting. And in fact, it was the coolest setting, you know. You can't get much cooler than Mos Eisley Cantina. I mean, that's obviously, you know, where it all started.
And dude sitting there in the same booth and trying to look like Han Solo.
Yep.
Just made your blood boil just a little bit, going, no, nah, dude.
It set up my discontent for the character. You know, like, once I saw that, I'm like, okay, I don't like you. You're not Han Solo. Stop.
You're trying to be.
Yeah.
Look at that. You're sitting.
Yeah. No, no.
Would you do your research? But, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and just seeing that the droids are all of a sudden running the cantina where they weren't allowed before.
Yeah.
Was just like, this has changed big time. There's hardly anybody in the town of Mos Eisley.
Yeah, it obviously, you could tell that its heyday was probably, you know, prequels through episode 4, you know, time frame.
Yeah, I think that's maybe what they always said. Tatooine was sort of like right there on the Outer Rim, and people that didn't were hiding from the Empire or didn't want to deal with the Empire, that's where they went.
Yeah.
So I guess after the Empire fell, your planet got deserted.
Yeah, exactly.
Who wants to live in a desert, so.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you could probably tell the Empire's, you know, reaches, probably got weaker, you know, as the Rebels continued to attack it and, you know, obviously ultimately win. So there was no need, you know, to be hiding, you know, in a right. wretched hive of scum and villainy when you could literally go to the Midrim, at least for that, you would think, after the fall of the Empire.
Go back to Naboo or Coruscant and live on a pleasant planet, so.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, episode 5, awesome, you know, location. I thought chapters 7 and 8 were awesome. Not ironically, but unexpectedly, I think that IG-11 ended up having just this really, really cool, you know, character arc from what we saw in chapter 1 or chapter 2 when we saw him? It was chapter 1, wasn't it? Yeah.
Into chapter 2.
Oh, into chapter
2. No.
It was chapter 1.
Chapter 1 when we saw him.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, he blew blaster bolt through his head at the end of chapter 1, that's right.
Yeah, so seeing IG-11 come full circle, you know, under, it's Quill, right? Quill, yeah, Quill, restoring him, just become kind of like this really effective servant was nice to see, and yeah, so watching that character arc develop, really cool to see, and I'm so hyped for season 2. Honestly, it's what I'm looking forward to most. I love Clone Wars to death. Love, love, love it. You know, it was basically my childhood. The prequels were in general. So like this episode, you know, or season 7 means so much to me. But The Mandalorian, you know, was just, it blew my socks off. So maybe they're equal. I'd say we can call them equals to each other. Clone Wars season 7 and Mandalorian season 2. But geez, just awesome stuff, you know, slated to come out this year. Really looking forward to all of it.
Yeah, I just don't know what to expect in season 2. I'm just hoping, because Quill was one of my favorite secondary characters, and because even at the beginning of chapter 8, I thought he might still be alive, like he was just injured laying there. But when we saw his grave at the end, I was like, God damn it. So, unfortunately, he can't come back, but Cara Dune, Greef Karga, really love them too now. That I guess you could say thanks to Baby Yoda for turning Greef Karga around, so, by saving his life.
Yeah.
So, I guess the way I see Chapter 2, I guess, is the Mandalorian doing what he said he was going to do, or what he was told to do by the armor, tried to find Baby Yoda's home.
Yeah.
And I see Kara and Greef staying there, and maybe Kara's going to be Greef's heavy now. I guarantee she's going to be his muscle.
Yeah. Probably. And
they're going to be doing, you know, some exciting adventures together and stuff like that. That's why I think it was the Resistance broadcast. I was listening to an episode and they were talking about because Bob Iger in the latest Disney shareholders call headed towards possible spinoffs for different characters for the Mandalorian and spinoff series for Disney Plus. And the Resistance broadcast were speculating on what characters they would like to see get a spinoff. I would like to, I think a Greef Karga Cara Dune spinoff would be awesome. Just show their adventures, like more them. You don't have to necessarily take her off of the Mandalorian totally for that to happen. There's been shows in the past where they were spinoffs, but yet those characters that got spun off still show up on the main show that they were on every now and again. So you don't need to necessarily take her away from the Mandalorian. So but other than those two, I really don't see any other secondary characters that are that established that they need a spinoff.
Yeah, Cara Dune is probably, you know, the most qualified to get, you know, a spinoff, I would definitely say. I mean, it, really cool character development, like you said, like makes a really good heavy, I guess being, you know, a shock trooper and all that.
Yeah,
and all that, aka, like, she knows exactly what she's doing, you know, as far as the heavy stuff goes. So, yeah, it would be really cool to see that spinoff. If they were going to, like, give it a green light, you know, I would be so down to see something like that.
Right.
Season 2, it's going to be really interesting because now Baby Yoda is a foundling. Like, he is actually, I guess you could consider, like, part of the Mandalorian, you know, clan now, essentially. So it's going to be up to, I guess, you know, Mando to, like, I guess, take him in and yeah, hopefully, well, you know, I say hopefully, just I'm trying to imagine, you know, Mando and Baby Yoda rolling up on a planet filled of, you know, their of Yodas and Baby Yoda species. What that would look like, you know, because obviously that would have a high amount of Force, you know, power going on.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe, you know, on the other side of the coin, maybe there is no such a planet, and these are just a really rare species that, you know, don't have any, you know, known home planet, and, like, you might see once, you know, a generation. You know, like, who knows what, you know, these things, the species actually is. So there's, like, so much they could do with it. They could, like, make it even more mysterious and, like, even more rare than, like, originally thought. Or they could, like, give us a planet full of them, and all of a sudden there's, like, a million Yodas running around.
Right.
who knows which direction they'll take.
One thing I like, because when the Mando first premiered and I finally got to see it, because I didn't get my Disney Plus until, like, maybe November 15th or 16th.
Yeah.
The weekend after that Tuesday that it came out.
Yeah.
And I was avoiding spoilers, but after I started watching it, I jumped on Twitter and went back and was getting some people's instant reactions. And I know there were a couple of people on Twitter that I saw that, oh, you just ruined the mystery of Yoda. And I said to myself, how? They didn't name his species. We're still confused of, like, oh my God, there's a Yoda kid. Where did it come from? But I don't think it destroyed the mystery of Yoda, because, like I said, I like the fact they didn't reveal his species yet. I don't know if Jon Favreau has that in mind for season 2 or not, but his species hasn't been announced yet, so he is still a mystery. And we don't, like you just said, we don't know if there's a planet full of them, or if they even have a, quote, home planet. It could be like a mixed species that we don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a half-breed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, who knows?
So it's going to be real interesting to see if they reveal that. And if they reveal that, I don't think I would be upset, because, oh my God, it's been over 40 years. I'm ready to know what the hell Yoda is. So,
yeah.
Just tell me what his species is named so we can get it on the data bank on StarWars.com. And, you know, we finally know what kind of, you know, creature Yoda is. So I think it's just time that we know. But yeah, the people that I saw, the couple people I saw that were upset that they think that they spoiled the mystery of Yoda by just showing a little baby one, don't understand how that was destroying a mystery. If anything, it gave me more questions.
Yeah, so. I think it gave me more questions. You know, like, you know, one of them was, oh, is this Yoda's kid? But then, I don't know if the math aligns. It could align, but I don't think it would.
I know a lot of people were saying, that can't be. I saw feedback to that saying, because us fans were calling it Baby Yoda,
right,
everyone thought it was Yoda as a baby. No, we do not think that.
No.
We're calling it Baby Yoda because, like I just said, we don't know what kind of species it is, so we're just calling it Yoda.
Yeah. Funnily enough, though, my mom, until I told her, like, the second episode, actually thought it was Yoda. Yeah. So, like, I guess for, like, you know, anyone that's just going to go watch the show and is saying, oh, my God, Baby Yoda's in it, would think, right, oh, my God, this is about the actual Baby Yoda. I don't think that's, like, a widespread thing. I think it was just my mom was, like, kind of confused. But, like, everyone knows at this point, at least. No, Baby Yoda is just, it's a placeholder name. The official name, as we know, is the child. I use them interchangeably. Right. You know, they can be used whichever preference, you know, someone has. I don't really care. I know what they're talking about either way.
Right.
But
if you look at the timeline too, come on, the Mandalorian's taking place after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Yoda is dead.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. The fall of the Empire, you know, all these Imperial, you know, splinter cells. That was another really cool thing about the Mandalorian, was all the splinter cells that the only splinter cell we got to see, it was just awesome to see, like, how the Empire fragmented in the Outer Rim, and, like, the Moffs and, like, the different officers almost just turned into warlords, honestly, you know, and the enlisted guys are kind of screwed because they're still having to report, you know, but now, you know, they're, like, part of this warlord splinter cell, you know, gang almost, and it's like, that's not what they signed up for, you know, that's what I'd be saying, like, hey, I did not sign up for this, the war's over, you know, let me take my armor off and live a normal life now, but obviously, they're still, like, very, I guess still people really holding on tight to the hopes that the Empire will, like, rebuild itself.
Right.
So that was really interesting to see as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait for season two, because the way they left us in chapter 8 with him cutting through the TIE fighter with that darksaber.
Oh my God. Seeing that darksaber, like, in live action for the first time was just, it was euphoric.
And I think my instant reaction, my first words out of my mouth after the screen went blank is I just looked at my wife and I said, how the hell did he get that?
Yeah.
So, and she was like, well, I guess we're gonna have to wait. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to wait.
I don't want to wait, but I do want to see that thing in the Mandalorian's hands by the end of the show. Maybe not season 2. Maybe, like, in season 3 or 4, when however many seasons they give the Mandalorian, I want to see that in a Mandalorian's hands being used by a Mandalorian in combat again. You know, that is, like, one of my things that I want to see by the time that, you know, just, like, personal hopes. By the time the show ends, that's, like, would just be, that would make me very happy.
Right. Yep. Yeah, and just seeing it again and knowing that it's still around, and I'm trying to think back to Rebels. I can't remember who had it last, because I know Sabine gave it to somebody. Then she gave it to Bo-Katan.
I think so.
And as far as we know, she's the last one to have it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, my God, how'd he get it? And it better end up in the hands of Din Djarin by the end of it. So.
Yeah, for sure. I really hope so. To have that, you know, restored to a Mandalorian, that would be awesome. Obviously, I think the Grand Moff is going to be the main villain, as far as we know, of the show, which is awesome. It's great to see Gus Fring. Great to see the Breaking Bad crossover.
I'm sorry, I was going to say, and I know some people were, like, shocked when his TIE fighter went down, and they're like, oh my God, there's another bad guy they introduced and killed right away. not once did I think he was dead.
Oh, no, neither did I. Like, okay, he shot down. Yeah, he survived that one. For sure. But,
yeah, because when they showed it from a far angle and you just saw it go down and saw the poof, and you're like, yeah. When they show it from that far away, if they don't show an actual explosion or something.
Yeah. Remember,
the dude ain't dead.
Finn and Poe had a much rougher landing, I would say.
Not once I thought.
But, yeah. Finn and Poe on Jakku, their TIE fighter took a much bigger beating, if you ask me.
Yeah, Jesus. So,
yeah, they that's the one I would really, you know, like, geez, that was
Wow. Yeah. He survived. Well, it looked, yeah, that's right. Finn got ejected.
Yeah.
And I guess, yeah, Poe said he was thrown from the wreckage when they hit. So. Yeah. But yeah, if they were trapped in that, when it actually
got devoured. Came
to rest.
Yeah.
They would probably be worse off.
Yep, for sure. But so can't wait for Mando season 2. And another thing too, I think we wanted to touch on that you had brought up before we started recording, is Project Luminous.
Oh yeah.
And so like I'm not you know the biggest, I'm not well versed on this, but it sounds like there's like a lot of different theories as to what this is. Do you kind of want to, I guess, lay out those kind of like the general consensus, and then we can talk more about it?
Yeah, I was, because I didn't know much about it at all either. I first heard about it on the podcast when they started talking about it, and they were going from what they initially heard, and this is back when the rumors started coming out about it. It was just announced, there was this thing that they were working on called Project Luminous, and that's all that came out. And then, of course, the unreputable websites and the reputable websites started picking up on it and started going with what I guess they think it could be. And when I first heard it, the first theory was that it was going to be a series of comics, books, and movies that tell one cohesive story. And at first, when I first heard that, I was kind of upset because I was like, I do not want to be forced into reading, buying comics and buying books that, one, novels take me a while to read, and comics, not so much, but I enjoy comics, but I don't feel that you should have to be forced into reading comics and books before you see a movie to get the whole connective story. Because Star Wars started out as a visual medium, and that's what it should always be. And the books and the comics and the video games are all, I guess, dessert, like extra. If you want more, go read this book and get more of the story. If you don't, you know, no big deal. You're not going to need it to understand the next movie that comes out. So, but then I went and actually looked up online, and from what is telling me now, that it is a series of both comics and books to tell one cohesive story, not mentioning movies or video games. So I'm a little bit more at ease with that, and that's fine and dandy because I can take my time reading those comics and books to get that story. I don't have to rush and make sure I have them all done by the time the next movie comes out, I believe in 2022. So that makes me feel a little bit better. And yeah, now I'm looking forward to this a little bit more, that now I know it's just comics and books. So.
Oh yeah. I was reading over it also just briefly on the Star Wars Wiki, Wikipedia, as it's called, which I think is a pretty reputable place. I mean, if there's something egregiously wrong, obviously it's going to be addressed on there, I would think.
Someone would change it.
Yeah, someone would change it, or like Lucasfilm would like come out publicly and like say something about it. But really all it is, it seems like it's really just like an all-star lineup of like Star Wars, you know, authors and writers and just content creators. And from what I'm gathering, it's basically just like you said, a series of books and comics to tell, like, one cohesive story is, like, literally, you know, what it said on the wiki. So it sounds like, and one thing it did not mention at all, zero mentions on the Star Wars wiki of any movies or TV shows. So right. I think, you know, we're good on that. I think they, what probably happened is some, you know, unreputable news site probably wanted to create a fake story. Yeah, probably wanted to create a fake story for some, you know, publicity.
I don't know if you know about that website or not.
Which website?
Yeah.
What is it called?
We Got It Covered. Have you ever, We Got It Covered?
I've heard of it. I'm not familiar with it, though. I've not used it either.
They're notorious for having stories and headlines that are totally end up being wrong all the time. So
okay.
I'm almost guaranteed that when this first broke, they were probably the ones that added the video games and movies into that.
Gotcha.
Because that probably got everyone stirred up.
And what really, you know, what really is convincing me that it has nothing to do with movies was the fact that the Project Luminous, and this is direct quotation from the Star Wars. I will link this article, everyone that's listening. I will link this article so you can decide for yourself.
Right.
You know, how legitimate you think it is. Looking at the bibliography and looking at, like, what they're reporting, and especially because their headline isn't, like, clickbait. It's literally just called Project Luminous. This seems like it's pretty reputable. And this is quoting directly from the article. Project Luminous was revealed 1 month later, you know, from the original time of, like, them getting together to talk about it. That is, you know, the people that would be producing and writing for it. At the Star Wars Celebration Chicago, at the Lucasfilm Publishing Writers Roundtable.
Right.
So this was literally at some sort of, you know, writing panel or, like, writing section of, you know, Celebration, completely independent of the movies and shows.
Yeah.
Where it was revealed. The link.
I'm looking at it now, too, and they had the link to the YouTube video that you could watch the panel.
Yeah.
And obviously, this is one of the panels that I didn't watch from Chicago because...
Yeah, you can only watch so much.
I didn't know about it.
Yeah. So, it sounds like... which, this is going to be really cool because, I mean, it's coming out in 2020. As you know, according to the article, too. And as long as they don't... And I agree. I think everyone can agree with you on this one. Like, we do not want to... No one wants to be forced to read a book or, you know, play a video game before you go watch the movie. Like, Star Wars, the king of Star Wars is its movies, just first and foremost, right? Like, the movies are king. There's nothing that trumps movies. There's nothing that should ever require, you know, anyone should be able to go walk into a Star Wars movie with as much or as little knowledge about, like, what's actually going to happen. And be able to enjoy and follow it from start to finish. You know, that's just how it should be. Yeah. Even movies like Solo, where he was in four other movies up at that point.
Yeah.
You did not have to know a single thing about the character of Han Solo to go watch Solo and enjoy it.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, if you didn't see A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, or Return of the Jedi, you could actually walk into Solo and know what's going on and love that movie for, you know, getting to know Han Solo.
Yep.
I know some podcasters now and some podcasters that really enjoyed, you know, Harrison Ford as Han Solo, but they said after they saw Solo, to them, Alden Ehrenreich is now their Solo just because of his performance. And I think, you know, and for the younger generation coming up, that's why I'm hoping that they do something on Disney Plus or something to give us a continuation of that younger Solo story so that younger generations can grow up and actually have a Han Solo of their own. Because I guarantee in 10 years, if you go up to some Star Wars fan and say Han Solo, I bet they first picture Alden Ehrenreich. So it's just... I think I knew some people that really had a problem with Solo when it came out, saying, oh, you can't replace Harrison Ford as Han Solo. But, and I was one of the ones that was kind of wavering on that back and forth, but after I saw the movie, I think he did a great job, and he had Harrison Ford's blessing. So, hey.
Oh, yeah.
Each their own, and I think he did a great job as Han Solo, and like I said, to some younger fans, that's their Han Solo now, and I think that's a great thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, me, Han Solo, I think he still is, you know, my favorite character in Star Wars, just out of the entire, you know, saga. And just me being that diehard Han Solo fan, diehard Harrison Ford fan, was still very much delighted to see Alden Ehrenreich just knocking it out of the park in, you know, in Solo as Han. He just plays that young Han so well. You know, a young cocky Han, you know, who is just, you know, fresh off the streets, you know, trying, I guess, now to establish himself with his own ship. It was so cool to see that. And I think that, you know, Alden Ehrenreich could not have done a better job. And like you said, he has Harrison Ford's blessing, which in and of itself is automatic, you know, qualification, you know, to be like a certified Solo. It worked really well. And that's coming from like a diehard Han Solo fan. I really enjoyed it. And like you said, for any newer or younger fans to Star Wars, you know, Alden Ehrenreich might be, you know, the face of Han Solo for him, which I have no problems with,
right.
Especially when you can, like, watch how, like, Alden Ehrenreich Solo transforms into Harrison Ford Solo, you know, for the rest of the saga. Just right. A really, really cool way to, you know, establish that character. So, yeah.
And I think it's just a matter of time, too. And it'll probably be on Disney Plus, which I don't have a problem with, but I think it's only a matter of time before we get younger versions of Luke, Leia on screen, played by different actors.
I think so too.
I think it's only fitting because Donald Glover had Billy Dee Williams' blessing as well. And I think Donald Glover, oh my goodness, talking about almost, I think he may have just sat there and studied The Empire Strikes Back because his performance of Lando and Solo was amazing. So,
Lando, Donald Glover as Lando, talk about like a spinoff, you know, if we want to like, you know, go for spinoffs, I think a Donald Glover as Lando spinoff would just, it would be a fantastic, you know, fantastic start to it.
Yeah. So. And you could have Alden jump in every couple of episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Giving them grief and stuff, and
yeah, think, exactly.
I still have your ship.
Yeah, it would be really cool to see like how Lando got from the end of where he was in Solo, you know, where he lost his ship. You know, he's kind of like, I wouldn't say like totally down on his luck. I mean, he is a little bit. He lost a ship, you know.
Right.
So you could say he is, but how he got from there all the way back, you know, to him acquiring. Or all the way forward, I should say, to him acquiring Cloud City. And then, you know, maybe that show could end with hearing something like a transmission from Han Solo, you know, telling him, hey, we're coming to Cloud City, or something like that, you know. Yeah, it would just be really cool to kind of see Lando, I guess, go through his ups and downs as a gambler, as like a deal maker and everything like that. That would be a really cool idea for a spinoff.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, I think it's Resistance Broadcast. They're the ones that started the hashtag #MakeSolo2Happen campaign.
Yeah.
I think Disney Plus would be a great spot for it, be it a movie or a series.
Yeah.
Make it a series.
I would love to see something like a 5 or 6 part series of like how solely focused on Han and Jabba's, you know, relationship, how like Han found Jabba or vice versa, and then maybe like just show like his transition, you know, from becoming like one of his most famous, or you could say like one of his favorite smugglers, and then maybe we could just finish the series with, you know, obviously Han dropping the cargo and then, you know, fleeing to Mos Eisley would be a really cool way to exactly. That would be a really cool, you know, thing to see.
Yeah. Yeah, and as long as we're talking about characters and series, after we learned that Poe Dameron was a spice runner at one time, give us a, you know, give us a little episode or little mini movie on Disney Plus about the days of Poe Dameron running Spice
That would be
with
interesting.
oh man, Zuri Bliss.
Yeah.
So, because I know for one, I was a little bit disappointed because when they showed us images of Zuri Bliss before the movie came out, I was excited for her character, and I don't think we got enough of her character in Rise of Skywalker, and I would like to see more. So what better place than on a Disney Plus series or something about Poe Dameron to bring her back and give her more time and get to know her character more.
Yeah, it was a really she had a really, intriguing character. Definitely one of the highlights of The Rise of Skywalker for me as well. And yeah, I think giving that idea could give like a chance for like one of these new sequel characters to, I guess, really I just develop more, get more of a
Yeah.
background. I
We're
think
going to be getting it with Cassian Andor.
yeah,
So
we are.
they'll start picking other characters from these other movies like Solo and Rogue One and the sequel trilogy that we want to know more about and tell us those stories.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much untold, especially now that we have the full picture from, the sequel trilogy. There's so much untold information that I feel like is just vital to understand. How the heck did we come full circle to Palpatine, coming back? How did that even happen? Like, we still don't know. He just appeared
No.
at 9 out of nowhere. And it's like, well, that's kind of some big news.
Right.
Care to elaborate there,
And
Lucasfilm?
yeah, I'm pretty sure because you all blew our freaking minds at Celebration Chicago when you ran the trailer.
Yeah.
And at the end of the trailer, you got that laugh. And
Yeah.
I just look at my wife, mouth open, going, "What the hell?" And then you see Edie McDermott walk out on stage and say, "Roll it again." I'm like, that just confirms it.
Yeah,
That,
it
yes,
does.
that's him laughing.
Yep.
So I'm like, okay, what's going on? So yeah, you blew our minds with that, but I thought they would put it in the crawl or something, saying,
Yep.
this is what happened, and that's why he's still here.
And I don't know if you heard about this story, but do you remember in the crawl of The Rise of Skywalker how it referred to Palpatine giving a mysterious broadcast like across the galaxy?
Yeah.
So, and this is exactly why, I think everyone is might be, so hostile towards the idea of Project Luminous including movies, is because that broadcast that Palpatine mentioned was
Okay.
put into a video game before the movie came out. And the only
Oh,
way you could view that broadcast is if you played the video
okay.
game. And the game was Fortnite. So they put Palpatine's.
Oh, and it wasn't even a Star Wars video game. Look at that.
No, they put Palpatine's
Jeez.
broadcast in Fortnite. And I don't play Fortnite. I definitely do not play Fortnite.
I never. Yeah, I. This is the first time I'm hearing about this.
So the fact that they thought it was a better idea to put Palpatine's mysterious broadcast in Fortnite as opposed to having, who knows, maybe some random, even just civilians listening to like, Palpatine's broadcast, or maybe even like a resistance scout, like on an outpost, detects it and starts listening to it. And just kind of seeing the galaxy's shock at the beginning of the movie that Palpatine's back, in my
Yeah.
opinion, would have made for a lot better or a lot more. You could see the weight in the fear and the shock that the entire galaxy goes into now that, Palpatine is back. But instead, they had to put it in a video game,
Right.
which is
Yeah.
ridiculous, totally ridiculous. To me, that might have been the greatest sin of The Rise of
Yeah, and
Skywalker, was deciding to put that broadcast into a video game that has nothing to do with Star Wars, mind you, just a video game, Fortnite, of all things, instead of, hey, let's put this broadcast in the beginning and show that, like, the entire galaxy is in a state of panic, now that, like, its most evil being is, like, back. Jeez. Oh, yeah, no, how about not? Let's just throw in a video game instead. Just frustrating.
And where did you do your research that told you that this is the amount, this is a percentage of Star Wars fans that play Fortnite?
Yeah.
That's the first time I heard about that being in a video game. That's, oh my, and not even a Star Wars video game, because I was like going over it in my head. I'm like, well, it would have been, well, they could have put it in Jedi Fallen Order, but my mind instantly went to Battlefront 2, and I'm like, I still play around with that game. I don't remember that in there. I was like trying to figure out, I'm like, that's when my first thought was when you were saying that, I'm like, it was probably in Fallen Order because I don't have that game yet. No, it was in a non-related Star Wars video game.
And that's another, I will link the transmission also for everyone. You can find YouTube videos of it. I'm just going to link a YouTube video that has the that has Palpatine's just speaking is essentially what it comes down to. It's just speaking about, you know, the return of the Sith or the return of the dark side. And sure, is it a simple, you know, broadcast? Yeah, you know, it's just him, you know, going on and on. But I think that showing people hearing Palpatine's voice again, you know, in the galaxy would have done a lot more for the movie than just rolling right into it with, oh yeah, he's back.
Yeah.
You know, like having that build up of like hearing his voice first, maybe, and then Kylo Ren discovering it, and then like, you know, going to Palpatine.
Oh,
would have
man.
Been
yeah.
just such a better setup than what we got, but.
Wow. Yeah, I have to look that up sometime.
Yeah.
But maybe while I'm at work this afternoon,
yeah.
look up my phone and watch it. But yeah, that just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy stuff. Stuff you would never expect, you know, for them to pull, and then they do. And you're like, oh, really? Like, come on. You could do better than that. You're Lucasfilm.
Right.
But, yeah. That it is what it is, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, was there anything else you want to talk about here? We can always wrap it up and then, you know, await episode 1 of Clone Wars Season 7 to arrive.
And then, that will be this coming Tuesday.
Yeah.
I believe.
Or, no, this Friday. It drops on Friday.
Oh, 21st.
Yeah, 21st.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So. That's like we record on the weekend, so
exactly.
We both watch it before we record, then yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm really hyped for it. I'll definitely be watching it.
I think if they did announce that they're going to be like The Mandalorian, they're releasing week to week, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I think we get 2 episodes though on Friday, don't we?
Do we? I didn't hear about that.
I heard a rumor saying they're going to drop 2 episodes at the beginning, so I don't know if that means one on the 21st and maybe like one the day after or something.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
I have to look that up, but I forget where I heard that, but someone said, oh, it's either a double episode or this or that, but I have to look that up.
Yeah.
I could be totally wrong.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah, this Friday, people, get ready.
Yes, it's coming.
I know a lot of people are probably going to be waking up at 4 a.m. so they can watch it before they go to work.
Yeah.
And I won't be one of them because I already have to get up like at 5 a.m. to get to work, so I'm not getting up any earlier than that.
Yeah.
I will avoid spoilers like I always do, and I will watch it probably on Friday night or Saturday with the wife, so.
There you go.
But I cannot wait.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Good times ahead.
Yeah.
So, I think with that we can wrap it up if you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Sweet. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to this week's episode. We are obviously excited for a lot of stuff coming out, and especially what's going on this Friday. So feel free to share the hype with us. Let us know any thoughts you have headed into Clone Wars Season 7 or even Mandalorian Season 2. I don't think it will ever be too early to talk about that either.
or even the Cassian Andor series, which I heard they are shooting this year.
Yeah, this year. So we have that also, you know, to that think might, about.
Never know. That might be coming out. I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe early 2021. Early next year. Yeah, yeah. So with that, guys and gals, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Tristan.
I'm Jeff.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
Give the evacuation code signal.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
Life is about passions.
Thank you for sharing ours.
This has been the CantoCast.
May the Force be with you.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.